Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. We didn't get very far yesterday, or last time, whenever it was. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. What the word idols there, well, dumb is, first of all, carried away means to, it's apago, means to lead away, to be for the purposes of putting to death. In other words, we were led because of the curse and the way that our minds then worked. From the moment of our birth, we are being led away to the death chamber. You don't have any, there's nothing that you can do about it. Because under the law of God, which is spiritual, if you judge for yourself and look, and if you're not in total 100% dependence on God, then you're under the curse, and the penalty of the curse is death. Because all you are capable of doing was self-enhancing because of the curse. So all you can do is work and move towards self-realization. That is the fundamental idolatry by which you were being led away to the death chamber. Now, it doesn't mean that you can have good idols and good ideas and bad ideas. It means that you are under the penalty of death at birth. You really comprehend that? Wade?
Well, that's the end of your day.
And what happens in the interim is a puff of smoke. What happens from your birth to your death in terms of the economy of God is a puff of smoke to that creature. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you're good or bad by your definition, whether you are exalted or not exalted, whether you achieve or don't achieve. Those are meaningless concepts.
I think that what you just said is, it's observable. It's patently obvious to anyone who doesn't lie to themselves. It's true.
The dumb is a phonos, unmeaning, without significance. But it appears to be otherwise. Just like in the olden days when they carried the idols physically on their shoulders and they walked around. So you still are carrying your idols on your shoulders. And by the means of those idols on your shoulders, the idea that you have ideas or agendas or plans or images of the way things should be, you can't have a good one. There's no idea that's good. There's no image that's good. There's no plan that's good. They are an idol that you are driven to, that leads you to the death chamber. I pray that you understand the depth of this. You can think about it, from a psychological standpoint, or isn't that an interesting idea? But you will think of it as something that it's interesting, and then 5 minutes later, you'll You'll have an agenda and a plan or a concern or a judgment. There are no good value systems. You're of the nations, Gentiles, ethnos. Doesn't matter whether you call yourself a Christian or a Jew or an atheist or a Muslim or an American or an Iraqi. I don't think some of you really have ever understood this. Because you don't understand that, then you think the gifts of the Spirit and God and Jesus Christ Himself is there to help you on your path of self-realization. And it's not surprising that that's the case. Gary, are you sure you understand this?
I heard an interview with the wife of George Harrison talking about some of his music and everything. She was telling about this incident when he was 25, you know, early 20s. He was trying to explain to his mother about all his meditation stuff and why they were doing all this stuff. It was a letter. You know, and he was saying achieve the highest thing a human being can do, which is self-realization. It's just the jargon, but it's like, that's clarified for some people. You know, that's what they're trying to do. You know, and if we can see as clearly as he did of what we're trying to do, and at the same time know that that's evil and vanity. And, you know, but it's like when we don't know that, that's sort of what the power of preaching is about, is to blast away all the stuff, and it's like all I'm trying to do is...
It's not an evil that you can correct. This has to be the understanding. This is what it means to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, so that you will never, ever, ever forget. And the only hope is in this process that the Scriptures call being born again by the grace of God. That His life would be birthed in you. And then it's His life to live, not yours.
Let me tell you how I do hear this. That in the realm of the curse, it's totally black and white. And under the realm, there is no... it's everything you say is. In hearing and understanding that, there's nothing you can do to correct it or to correct yourself. That's not my business to correct me, but it is my business to see and repent. And that's how I hear what you're saying, that because if I hear it, well, yeah, there it is, and I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing, then that's on Jesus to me. So the only hope is that I would repent of those things that I see as a result of the hearing.
Okay, now look, listen. I'm going to read those first two verses again. And I'll read them with this understanding. Now, concerning the spiritual, pneumaticos, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know. Now, again, it's contrasting. The spirituals and then what you know. You know that you were Gentiles, ethnos, of the nations, under the curse. You were Gentiles, carried away... being led away onto these value systems, ideas, and plans that are without significance, even as you were led. Now, the reason that it's in that verb construction or sentence construction is because when it says you were Gentiles carried away, It means that you were carried away by your own mind on these things that you thought were good and your value systems that you had adopted, but all the while you were being led to the death chamber. It's like dead man walking, but on the way I am going to stop and draw a picture. And then we hear this inane garbage always. We says, well, the Beatles' music will be with us forever. Or his kind acts will last forever. No, they won't. It'll be as though they never existed. Okay, now you got those first two verses down. And now he says this incredible word. He said, wherefore, because of that, wherefore, I give you to understand something. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, calleth Jesus anathema. What anathema means, it's the same word as herem in the Hebrew, and it means not suitable for temple service. And that was directed to the Jewish nation at the time, and anyone else that thinks they're right. It was directing them to know that if this man, this Son of God called Jesus, if you think the slightest aspect of him is optional, then you're saying that he's not suitable for the temple service, which had to be perfect. Got it?
Or he needs a little bit of your help.
He needs your help. You're calling Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Because everything about your sensory perception will always tell you that something is wrong and therefore he isn't Lord. And the moment you declare with your emotions or your mind or your statements that you believe that there is something wrong, then you are calling Jesus accursed, because he said the contrary, and he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. All things are under his feet. This is so all-encompassing that it doesn't give your senses or your mind or your ideas or your plans, it doesn't give them a chance. Because if you give them a chance, then you're back again being led away to the gas chamber. This is pretty heavy, if you really hear it.
There's something about hearing this morning in the terms of black and whiteness, because if you're not in that black and white, then you're trying to mix the two together and make them acceptable in the world, but that's not what he's talking about.
I'm seeing that picture from the Book of Esther where Haman is, they cover his face, it's almost like they put a hood over it or something, carry him away to be executed, and the guys who are doing that are like the idols. They're like there to cover our understanding so we don't see the mystery, to lead us to the execution, except they're, it's like, therefore God is the only one who can.
Keep a marker in 1 Corinthians 12 and go to 2 Corinthians 4. Just take a right a few pages. Huh? Tell him. Get after him, Ronnie. Chapter 3, verse 15. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now remember that veil. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, I won't go there. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. I didn't mean to skip it. Thank you. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Now, again, the word glass here, it refers to the thing idea that now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. The idea is that what we look into, what used to be a mirror, to see how this affected me and make our judgments about whether we believe it or not, about how it affects you. Now, instead of looking through the mirror, the silver, which is our own redemption, has been torn off the glass, and we look through the glass in every arena of our life, and we see only Christ. Now, we all with open face means without any of our own, nothing is hidden. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed, metamorphosed. We are transfigured into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This doesn't take lighting, it doesn't take mood music, it doesn't take crowds. It only takes your repentance. So that by repentance, the silver is taken off, the silver nitrate is taken off the mirror. So you see through the glass instead of seeing at the glass. What just drives me insane is people that no matter where they look, no matter what they hear, it's always used as an instrument to see something about themselves. It reminds me of that, you know, that Jewish joke, which really is all of us. My leg hurts. Your leg, I don't feel, you know, I'm hurting this morning. I'm hurting worse than you are, you know, or whatever it is. It always is an instrument to reflect back on you. So everything you look, everything you hear, your mind says, how can I use that for me? That's why it's critical to understand about His one offering. You have been perfected forever. You cannot improve perfection. You have eternal life. You can't add to eternity. I've told you from the very beginning, you know, you sit around and you say, well, this scripture means to me. Well, I don't give a rat's ass what this scripture means to you. Well, this is what I get out of it. I don't care what you get out of it. I'm not excited yet. You want to see me excited? What? Your body language is interesting.
Oh, my body language has to do with my body, not what you're saying.
We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing as we have received this ministry, this service, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We never quit in our mind, no matter what the circumstances. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves openly. Whatever it is that's going on, it's there openly for every man to see. Not walking around hiding. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. The open face. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Having some aspect that's going on within us different from what we manifest. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But, this ties back into what we were studying. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Can you think of a more arrogant statement? Except maybe John's, who said, "If you hear this, and whoever hears us is right, and whoever doesn't hear us is wrong." If our gospel be hid, it is him to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world has blinded the minds. He's blinded the minds by the use of self-seeking. He's blinded your mind by the veil, which is self. Self-realization. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to be tomorrow? Where am I going to be? You're going to be dead. Because it's no longer you that live, but Christ that liveth you. And He doesn't need your help. So the God of this world, every time you get an idea, every time you have a plan, every time you are concerned with tomorrow, it's the God of this world deceiving you into some aspect of self-realization, even some aspect of self-realization regarding your own understanding of the mystery. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is why the give us this day our daily bread is the bread of the face. It's not the bread of the gut. Remember Paul said, many walk of whom I have told you, often have now told you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites or their gut or their whatever satisfies them, whose glory is in their shame, for they mind earthly things. We have the treasure in earthen vessels, broken earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, go back to Corinthians 12. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities simply means distinctions. There are differences of administration or service, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all and in all. The word worketh is an interesting word. It means to show forth. It is the same God that's working out differences, distinctions, of His one Spirit in all as in all. But it's always the same God. And what that means is the gifts and calling of God are given without repentance. And so because of His humility, He always gives you the ability to misuse. The gifts and calling of God are given without repentance, but if you keep some aspect for yourself for one nanosecond, then the gift is polluted.
Yeah, given without repentance means God's not going to change his mind and take it back or something. That's what
right. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given. This is, we want to spend a minute here, I think. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The exhibition is a manifestation, is to profit, not you profiting, but it means, literally, it means it's some pharaoh, which means that you would be brought together. The manifestation of the gift of the Spirit is so that you would profit, not you individually, but you, the body, would be brought together, would be knit together in love. So there is no situation in which the bond of peace and the bond of fellowship can be broken. Now, I've heard sermons on that verse. You can imagine what... my God, there's the word prophet. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's brought together as one. It means to be brought together as one. To profit for me. Well, the word profit means they're being brought, means some federal, means brought together. I've used up all my rollover minutes. Joysana has told me that I owe rollover minutes. Anybody have any response to what?
It's cool that it starts off reminding us of that, like a base level thing is your whole destiny as a human being is just to be let off your death penalty. So keeping that in mind, don't get so touched up about all this spiritual stuff, spiritual gifts thing. It's not for your profit, it's for everyone else.
Yeah, I was thinking about how in the charismatic days when you would go to a seminar to hear about the gifts of the Spirit, it was all what's my gift? How am I going to profit from this new, it's just two different kingdoms.
Still is that way.
It's still that way, yeah. It's that way in this room. You
don't
hear it.
Well, that's how it is. Parts of it, at least.
But it's always profit to you so that you can be a better giver to somebody else.
Right. But you will always be lifted up in the front.
Remember what the word of God it says we do not use the word of God deceitfully. Remember what deceitful meant? It's a technical word that means you add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2 a minute, just real quick. Verse 14, now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are, and it's because of what it said earlier, is we are always, oh God, unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Same situation exactly, same words, same presence, same everything. But to the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So the word the deceitful there, and is the same as it was in the fourth chapter, is you're deceitful because you're adding water to the wine for the purposes not of the mystery of God, but for the purposes of selling your point or getting somebody to hear you, which is the purposes of commerce.
Some transaction.
So you want some. Yeah, you want somebody to agree with you. I don't give a rat's ass whether you agree with me or not. What? You think you can agree with that?
Brian says you've made that clear over the years.
I've made that clear over the years. But by the same token, we must trust that because that you and I were called into this body, because we ended up here, then we have to be faithful to what we see, but we have to not only be faithful to what we see, we have to be faithful to what we see without judging anyone else's seeing, without judging down anyone else's seeing. Now that's a delicate balance because, my God, because we're just seeing a little piece of the picture compared to what is really there. It's, you know, as we've talked about so often, what you hear with your ears is only a very narrow bandwidth of the spectrum. What you see with your eyes is minuscule compared to all what's possible to be seen. And so our perceptions are designed by God, even our perceptions of spirit are designed by God to be faithful to the office that we've been called to. You understand that? And so, says Shelley, kneecap say to the toenail, I have no need of thee, or shall the eye say to the ear, I have no need of thee, you're wrong? No. We don't. That's not our business. You know, shall can Cash, because he committed suicide, go to hell? That's what a whole lot of people believe. I don't believe it because 1 Peter 4 says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause is the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. It's not our business to judge down, catacrino, anyone or anything.
This makes me think of the televangelists that we, I don't know if we judge them or whatever we do, but
we are limited carefully by the board of directors and only investigating those that commit fraud. Yeah.
And we can even see, I can see in God's economy, him raising them up for purposes of
But I can also see him raising them up for the purposes of gaining believers.
True. So with that understanding, we're not judging down, we're just fulfilling the...
Yeah, Harry wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Tilton, more than likely. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those idiots that you used to pay attention to.
Therefore.
But also the same token, you wouldn't be here unless you went to Christ for the Nations, and by the same token, you wouldn't be here unless you took cocaine.
Yeah.
So he has wrought all our works in us.
That's so important to come to that place because it clears you out. It doesn't give you any place.
And you have no place to stand. What did you guys talk about, Ken, last night?
Yeah.
Any decisions been made, or?
I haven't heard it back from his sister, so apparently, you know, it's going to be, we're not going to, like, I figure if they had wanted us to do the service or something.
We'll find out this morning.
All righty. Anybody else have any response or anything to take it, big guy?